Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna. I am an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Peter and Kathleen, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So our first speaker here today is Peter. Would you like to share with us? Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Anna. My name's Peter and I'm an alcoholic. I know I'm an alcoholic because when I pick up that first drink, I can't stop drinking. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I didn't know that until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew I was a drunk because I drank with drunks. I drank with people who were the same as me, so I didn't feel different. You know, this is a progressive disease I have. It has nothing to do with willpower. It's a disease, not a disgrace. I always thought I could control my drinking, but I couldn't. And as it progressed, I started off drinking as a teenager, as all teenagers do, having fun at parties. Yeah, but I was always the one who drank too much. Yeah. I was always the one who had to be taken home or found asleep in a bed somewhere. And I thought that was quite normal because it was fun times. But it progresses. And I got married and my wife married a drunk. You know, and we had children. And my children had a drunk for a father. And the abnormal became normal for me. You know, we had a house and we had a house and two kids and I had a job and a boat and a car and all the trappings which normal people have, except I couldn't stop drinking. You know, my life revolved around alcohol. I kept going along that way for quite a period of time, and then my wife used to get all upset and when I got a DIC or something like that. And then I would, I'd say, right, I'd stop drinking. And I'd pour the grog down the sink and I'd try to stop drinking. But the next day, I'd be up the pub drinking again and I didn't know why. You see, I have this allergy to alcohol. It's mental and physical. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't stop drinking. Everybody else could. They could stop for months at a time and then go and drink like normal. But not me. I couldn't stop because this, as a progressive disease, it got worse and worse and worse. And at the end, I went to a doctor one day and I said to him, I think I have a drinking problem. Well, at that stage of my drinking, I was only drinking when I was awake. When I wake up in the morning, I had a drink of spirits because I was a spirit drinker. I'd have vodka or rum or whatever was in the house. And so I could go to work because I thought in my mind an alcoholic was a person who just lived in the park, drunk out of brown paper bags and didn't go to work. I went to work. I had to feed my disease. Because if you're an alcoholic of my kind and you haven't got a drink, you shake and you rattle and you feel terrible. But once you have a drink, you feel better. So it's not really the alcohol which is a problem. So I thought. I thought I had a brain tumour or something like that. You know, because the alcohol always made me feel better. Anyway, this doctor I went to, he said to me, I'll get you into a detox. And I went into a detox in a psychiatric facility. And there they told me I was a chronic alcoholic. They stuck needles in the end of my fingers and I couldn't feel them. All my nerve endings were starting to go. And my liver was twice its size and I was 7 stone ringing wet. And I just shook and rattled and they gave me some tablets to stop shaking. And they gave me solid food for a change. Yeah, I hadn't had solid food for a while, unless it was meat pie or something like that. Yeah, I wasn't looking after myself. And here they had dinners and stuff. And they had people from Alcoholics Anonymous came along, and they had banners up on the wall, and they come and share their experience, strength and hope with us clients. They called us clients. And I'd sit in the back row and just poo-bummed us, you know, it's rubbish. This is all rubbish, you know, what are they talking about? What's this God stuff was they were saying, you know? I couldn't understand it. But there's one person there, he was like me. He couldn't be told anything. You can't tell an alcoholic anything. And he says to me, Peter, if you want to go to a meeting, I'll be there. And I'm nosy. And I went to this meeting, and he was there. He had a white shirt and a tie on and a jacket, clean-shaven, unlike myself. And he put his hand out, and he says, it's good to see you, Peter. I couldn't remember his name, but he could remember mine. You know, he says, come and sit in the back row here, because that's where all the newcomers sit. They sit in the slippers and slide the seats in the back row, you know, just in case you can run out. But he stood at the door, so I couldn't. And I listened to these people sharing, but I'd drunk spirits for so long, my mind couldn't retain anything, so I couldn't remember what they were saying. Yeah. But one thing I did know, he says, keep coming to meetings, Peter. You'll be okay. Yeah. But they didn't only do that. Somebody come along and says, oh, I'll take you to meetings, Peter. And he come around home and pick me up and take me to these AA meetings, whether I wanted to go there or not. And I just kept going and listened to these stories. And I thought, is this going to help me or not? But I wasn't drinking. That's the miracle of it. I didn't drink. And I kept going and they kept coming picking me up. You know, this disease is so strong. That man who picked me up and took me to meetings died of this disease. He stopped doing what was good for him and he picked up again and he died. But he carried the message to me. And this is what this program's about. So I can go through the steps, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't think I knew anything. I needed to know anything about that. All I wanted to do was stop drinking. And this is a spiritual program. I didn't want to know anything about that. All I wanted to do was stop drinking and my life would get better. But if you're an alcoholic like me and you stop drinking, it doesn't always get better. Sometimes it gets worse until we start doing these 12 steps. So I had to get myself a sponsor. And a sponsor is somebody who's been through the steps and is willing to go take somebody else through the steps. And I found somebody who was willing to do that with me. And we went through the steps and I started to get rid of all these, the wreckage of my past, they call it, and get a relationship with the power greater than myself, something I didn't want to know about. But it seems to be it comes hand in hand with this program. And we got down to step 12, and he says to me, well, Peter, these steps aren't for you. And I thought, what do you mean these steps aren't familiar? I've done all these work, all this work. I've found myself a bear. I've wrote out an inventory. I share this inventory with you. Yeah, I've asked God to remove my defects of character. Yeah, try to be a better person. Yeah, I've made amends to people I'd hurt. You know, and I try to keep a good relationship with this power I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. And now I'm down to step 12. You say these steps aren't for me. He says, no, no, no. He says, these steps are so that you can get well enough to help somebody else. You see, I'm so self-centered and selfish that I don't think of anybody else. I'm only thinking of myself. But this program is a life changer. It certainly changed my life. It gave me a life. And it's not only my life which has been restored, it's my children's life as well. You know, the children who I had as a drunk love me today. And I have a son who lives in Mexico. And every time he rings me up, he says, I love you, Dad. You know, I'm 78 years of age, and we weren't brought up that way. Yeah. My daughter says, I love you, Dad. Yeah. So I keep coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, yeah, not only for me, but so I can help other people and be given the gift I've been given. So I keep coming, and I keep trying to carry this message to other alkies who need help. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Peter, for sharing with us. Our next speaker is Kathleen. Kathleen.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, I'm Kathleen. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 20th of May, 2006. Growing up, I grew up in a family that loved alcohol. I grew up in just outside of Boston, Massachusetts, Irish Catholic family. And in that family, there was a lot of drinking. Not everyone was an alcoholic. But what I remember about the drinking was how bright and exciting everything was when everybody was drinking. You know, that's what I learned. Everything's exciting. And then when people, you know, the next day, I remember things being gray, you know, and everybody being a bit subdued. Now, I'm not sure that's entirely how it was, but that's how I remember it. And from that, you know, I began drinking when I was 12 years old. You know, I found alcohol seemed exciting. It was about the same time my father went into treatment for alcoholism. And my father did go to AA. He never actually stayed sober for very long, but I knew about AA because of my dad. I didn't think it would be for me. I thought, I'm nothing like my dad. And as it turned out, I was more like my dad than I thought, and I'm actually proud of that today. So growing up, you know, early on, I started drinking. I drank the first time I drove, I actually drank. So all the indicators were there. And what drinking gave me was that ease and comfort. You know, I always, when I look back and I always feel like I was quite discontent with what was. You know, I always wanted things to be different. I wanted a different family. I wanted to be in a different school. I wanted to have a boyfriend. I wanted just anything that wasn't as it was. You know, when I made a decision, you know, when I got into university, I wanted to go far away from where I was. So not only was I discontent, when I look back, I was supremely ungrateful for what I actually had. But drinking did make me feel like I was the life of the party, you know, feel like I had lots of friends. I had easy access to alcohol and could get it. And that made me probably popular. And, you know, I would drink. and throughout my teens and early adulthood, I would drink, and I could stop for months at a time. But I always went back to it, and I always drank a lot. I never drank responsibly. I never could have one drink. And I never thought there was any point to having just one drink. Why wouldn't you drink a lot? You know, people who, you know, at university who would drink responsibly and then say, oh, I've got to go study for a test, or I've got to, you know, I've got to get up for a class the next day. That seemed crazy. So I had all the signs, and I came to AA shortly after my dad passed away when I was 39. And it, my life at that point had been, you know, I continued to be dissatisfied with what I had. I had a great job. I had a home. I had a husband. And I kept wanting something different. You know, I met my husband. He was a New Zealander, and I met him at Oktoberfest in Munich. And we spent a couple hours together, and then 8 months later, we got married after spending 4 weeks together. And that was, you know, at the time, it seemed romantic. It seemed, you know, like, wow, you know, Prince Charming, I'm going to live in a white, you know, a house with a white picket fence. I'm going to live in New Zealand. We couldn't move to the States because he had a couple marijuana charges. No red flags there. So off we went. We lived in New Zealand, hardly knowing each other. And I thought things would be okay if I was in a different country, if I was away from the life I had, and if I had a husband, that everything would be solved. And as it turns out, that was as far from the case as it could be. And I think that's when my drinking actually got a lot more serious. That escape route, I needed it all the time. And so we went to New Zealand, moved back from New Zealand to the States, and then moved back to New Zealand again. So, and nothing seemed to work. Right before we moved back to New Zealand, as I said, my dad had passed away, and for some reason, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't plan on staying, so my sobriety date is around that time. It's not exact. But I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I started going to meetings in the States, continued going to meetings when I was here, and I stayed on the fringes of AA. I didn't get a sponsor. I thought I could do the steps by myself. I don't recommend this approach. And it took me a while to settle in, and settling in meant I nearly picked up again after 2 years. My life was falling apart. My marriage was falling apart. I couldn't work in my chosen career. I'd burnt myself out, and I asked for help, and I got it, and I got busy, and I started, instead of showing up and saying everything was fine, I actually said what was really going on. I surrendered. And from there, once I joined the fellowship and worked the steps, I realized what having AA as part of my life meant. And what that meant was that fear that drinking took care of started to be removed. It's not removed entirely, but it has started. And that isolation I felt and that ungratefulness for my life that I felt started to go away. I started to realize I had a lot to be grateful for, that I'd always had a lot to be grateful for, and I didn't recognize it. I no longer wanted to be somewhere different, to be someone different, to be doing anything different than what I was doing. I started to learn how to live in the present moment. And most importantly, I started to introduce a power greater than myself, be introduced to a power greater than myself in my life. I grew up Catholic and wanted not a bar of it. You know, after I quote unquote escaped home, didn't want anything to do with it. And today, there was a journey to get to that point. Today, I have a power greater than myself. I call that power God, but that's not what is what required. That's not what is required. It's just a label, and it can be anything we need it to be as long as it's not us and as long as it's loving. If, you know, I read somewhere where if the voice you're hearing isn't comforting, then it's not God. You know, it may be that what you're hearing isn't what you want to hear, but if it's not something that leads to comfort and tolerance and ease, then it's not that higher power. So that higher power for me stopped being harsh. It stopped being judgmental. It started being supportive. And where I got that from was the voices of AA, the fellowship of AA. I now know for today that the fellowship gives me that power greater than myself through their words. I have a personal recovery program where I pray and meditate, but I have a program of fellowship where I go to meetings and I hear the fellowship talking, and I hear God through you guys. I hear my higher power through you guys and what you do during your tough times and what you haven't done and you wish you'd done. I learn through you guys. I learn through the power of AA. And I also have a program of service where I sponsor others. And as been shared before, I can't stay sober if I don't pass this on. And I learn more about myself through sponsoring other women than I could have any other way. Because what happens is that one-on-one, we become spiritually connected. And I grow to love those women, you know, and I see myself in them, and hopefully I'm helping them as well. So I thank AA. I thank AA for God, and I thank God for AA. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathleen. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you again to both Peter and Kathleen for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. It's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetstudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. And finally, could you join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me this serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Community Connection, planetaudio.org.nz.
If you're a new immigrant to New Zealand and want some helpful information about living and thriving in this country, go to The Kiwi Way on planetaudio.org.nz. It contains helpful information in your language and will be able to answer some of the questions you have on important topics such as education, finding a home, and healthcare. You can find The Kiwi Way by visiting planetaudio.org.nz, click Connections, then select your language from the menu to learn more about The Kiwi Way.
That's a Joe Cocker classic with a powerful message. That word respect packs a punch. It means so much. Openness, honesty, feeling safe every day. They're the values of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, an award-winning show about psych stuff. We're wanting to spread healthy and holistic wellness and mental health insights. Listen Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. on 104.6 FM or any time online at planetaudio.org.nz/Take It From Us. Even listen on your mobile.
Senior Focus is a reflective radio program designed for those 50 plus, where you can listen to a wealth of knowledge and expertise and insights coming from within our senior community. Our range of topics and guests stretching from the personal to the professional, from advocates to inventors and heritage buffs, will offer unique perspectives. Our Senior Focus program is on at 5:25 p.m. on Sundays. Or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus.
This is 104.6 Planet FM. Join AA Meeting on Air next Sunday morning at 10:45. And if you'd like to listen to this program again, go to our website, planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air. All one word.
I put on my raincoat to make it rain, and sure enough, the skies opened up again. I dreamed of you, so I walked to the shops. You were dancing with the Woolies on top of the Pops. Once in a while, Nadia Gerasimov drops his smile, and you can see the designs, a portfolio pregnant with guys. He's been up all night moving the goalpost like a jackdaw with a fiery breath. Spread the news all over this land. Robin Hood and his merry men are never, never, never coming back my back.